What's going on? It's Andrew Durrell, Daryl Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia this weekend. We'll take one last look at that match card and recapping the main event week that was for MJF. It's time to roar around the ring. All right, Crown Jewel, Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Real quick, are you a fan of the afternoon pay-per-views, or do you want them at night? Or does it matter to you, I guess?
I mean, I guess we don't really have a say because, you know, they're...
It doesn't matter what we
can
think.
Can you have them go to the show really, really, really late or really, really, however that works out, and then we could just get it like at, you know, 4 or 5?
That's fair.
They're getting it live. We got to watch it on, you know.
Yeah, live. I mean, of course you want it live. There's something about a pay-per-view being at night that just feels right.
It really does.
I don't hate the afternoon. It doesn't ruin anything for me, but it just feels like it needs to happen
at night.
I think
it's because you plan your day leading up to that.
Yes.
So once you watch it and it's done like at 4 o'clock, you're like, right. I don't really know.
Now what?
Now I got to do things. You know, like,
I'm supposed to be looking forward to the pay-per-view, daylight. Which allows me not to do anything.
Right.
And now I have to
do things.
I
had an excuse, but now WWE ruined it.
It ruined everything. So, Crown Jewel, Saudi Arabia, 1 o'clock. What we assume is the main event, LA Knight, Roman Reigns for the title. How about that promo, the contract signing on SmackDown this past week? LA Knight cutting off Roman Reigns' entrance, sitting at the head of the table. How do you feel about the, and of course we know the arrogance that LA Knight possesses,
right,
on a week-to-week basis, but in a feud with Roman Reigns, right, the head of the table, the tribal chief, a lot of times you don't get this type of arrogance leading into a match with Roman Reigns. How do you feel about LA Knight really just sticking it to Roman in every way possible?
I think that this is why I said, like, win or lose or whatever the outcome is going to be, this is showcasing LA Knight and why the fans love him, why he is a main eventer, why he is a superstar. Right. And that whole interaction with Roman Reigns, like, just because the cutoff of Roman's interest was so unexpected.
Yes.
And at the same time, it also served to the point of, like, here's a guy who's one who's like, he's never here.
Yeah.
And when he is, he takes himself way too seriously. Like, yep. He has this like 15-minute entrance of just getting to the ring. He poses like 3 different times with that championship.
Yep.
And I love that LA Knight's attitude was just like, yeah, whatever, dude. Just cut him off. Like, I laughed out loud in the living room. Like, it was the greatest moment.
Yeah, and no, I think it's, for me, the way LA Knight is selling this too. He's selling it so well, including sitting at the head of the table, right?
Yeah, that was great.
You know what I mean? Just like the way, the attitude that comes with him of, I'm just going to sit right here. Yeah. And it's little things, right? He didn't make a thing of it. He didn't, like, when he went there, it was while Roman was still walking into the ring.
Right.
Right? So it wasn't like a separate moment. It was, you had to catch where he was.
Yeah.
No one made a thing of it. And LA Knight, just doing it, made it the thing.
Roman didn't even get his pyro.
Right.
That was the thing. And shout out to Paul Heyman, because while LA Knight got to the ring and was posing, Paul Heyman yelling in the background, that's not right, just really made the whole segment for me.
Paul Heyman continues to be at the top of his game when it comes to selling things, because whenever something like this happens, you just see or hear him, and sometimes see him, just screaming outside the ring.
It's more effective when the screaming is off camera.
Yes.
just like, yes.
It could be someone in the front row, or it could be Paul Heyman. Either one works. The way LA Knight sold all this, though, it had me thinking here, because we've talked about before how I wasn't thrilled about LA Knight being thrown into this, you know, situation.
Right.
The chances of him actually winning and so on with the excitement. Watching this promo, and we knew how hot he was and how much the crowd is behind him. Watching that contract signing, if LA Knight, and this is a question I want to pose to you, but this is what... It came to my head watching SmackDown. If they were to have LA Knight pull off a miracle, pull off the upset at Crown Jewel, it would not be the wrong call.
You don't think so?
It would not be the wrong call. LA Knight could carry it.
I need you to elaborate on that.
LA Knight could carry it. LA Knight proved right there, because it's one thing to have the crowd behind you. And we've watched a bunch of different superstars come and go who got hot, who... And, of course, the first thing that comes to their brain is put the title on him. Cesaro was another one, you know, who challenged Roman, right? And he was red hot. The crowd loved him. Everyone just said, have him beat Roman. Put the title on him. Put the title on him. But it takes something extra to be able to actually carry that title. And LA Knight, outside of the popularity, which we already knew he had, proved in that contract signing. And it's probably an age thing, too, because it's not like LA Knight's a young, up-and-coming rookie.
Right, no, exactly.
He proved in that contract signing, if he were to get that title put on him in Saudi Arabia, he could carry it, and it would make so much sense. And you would not look at a guy and be like, this doesn't fit.
Okay, no, I'll concede to that. But let me ask you, just your opinion. Who would the fans tire of first if they put the title? Let's say, would they tire of Cody first? Would they turn on him, or would they turn on LA Knight?
I think they would.
Because fans are kind of fickle with lengthy runs now.
That's very true, and I think that's a great question. But I think the answer is Cody Rhodes.
I agree.
Because, A, we've seen fans turn on Cody before in AEW when he was not trying to get booed.
Right.
I mean, Seth Rollins called him out on that. You got booed in the company you created. And Cody, and it's not his fault, Cody was hindered by that injury. Right. So now, and also hindered by the horrible booking decision to not win at WrestleMania. So now,
debatable,
we have had Cody back in WWE long enough now where we're past the high of, oh my God, he's back.
Right.
Oh my God, the American Nightmare is in WWE. We're past that. Now, he's still red hot. But in the question of who would the fans turn on sooner, it is Cody Rhodes, because LA Knight just got popular. LA Knight's run just started. And if the writers were to show the fans how serious they take him by booking him to beat Roman and be the top guy, we would fall for it. Where with Cody, we've seen him in feuds with Seth Rollins, who's a fan favorite. We've seen him in feuds with Jey Uso and KO and Sammy, who are all fan favorites, who all want the title. And they would look at Cody and say, look, we've cheered you long enough. We know how fans work. We've booed you before. We'll boo you again if you get paired off with the wrong person. LA Knight, there really isn't a wrong person where if he got paired off with someone, people would turn on him.
I don't think it's even just that. I mean, you make some good points there, but I think that it's how they would individually carry the championship and their feuds would go. Like, LA Knight has the personality to where it's like that whole segment very much is reminiscent of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Sure.
And you don't tire of a person like that, because no matter who you put them up against, their attitude and their personality is enough to carry them. Cody Rhodes would have to play that. It would get kind of tired of like, okay, well, he's a champion. We're celebrating. We're happy. But then every time would just be like, is he the underdog that's constantly having to fight from beneath? Or is he always just like, I have to be the good guy no matter what? There's no edge to it.
So the thing with Cody, exactly, there's no edge. He plays the nice guy babyface. John Cena played that, right? And it worked until it didn't.
Right.
Wrestling fans will get sick of that.
Yes.
I personally, with John Cena, they call him the greatest of all time, which please take that, not that he's not, please take that out of his announcement.
It's branding.
Please stop. But with John Cena, it's, I miss the rapping. I miss the edge that he had when he first won the title. When he went Fruity Pebbles, as The Rock most eloquently said, in like 2010 on, you lost me, and it lost the fans. That has an expiration date, a sooner expiration date than a babyface with an edge, which is why KO never gets stale, which is why Stone Cold never got stale, which is why The Rock never got stale. And which is why between L.A. Knight and Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, that has a longer shelf life of being popular than Cody Rhodes when in terms of putting a title on him and making him the face of the company. Another title match at Crown Jewel, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, World Heavyweight title. Seth keeps bringing up and poking the bear of Drew McIntyre whining and complaining about having his 2020 WrestleMania moment in front of nobody. Are you with Seth in terms of being kind of tired about hearing him not doing it in front of a crowd or getting his moment in front of a crowd?
I'm not tired about hearing it, because I think a lot of wrestling fans agree with that. And he can come out there every week and say it. Him coming out there every week, if he's coming out there every week and saying it, it serves to the ultimate heel turn that we're all kind of expecting with him. Seth Rollins calling him out on it and saying, you know, basically stop whining, boo-hoo, shut your mouth. It just serves to the point of this feud. It serves to what drives Drew McIntyre to want to win this championship, which could possibly be him turning heel to make sure he wins it.
Yeah.
However that works out. But I'm not sick of him saying it. I think it serves to the whole – it serves a purpose.
The storyline of it, yes, makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've been begging for Drew McIntyre to fully go heel for a minute, and that's what this feels like it's leading to, which it should. But I kind of agree with Seth. And it's not Drew's fault. because I got sick of saying it. Because that's exactly what I was saying in 2021 and 2022 when crowds first came back. And Drew, every time he had his match with Roman, and then he had his WrestleMania IC title match with Gunther and Sheamus, and then his SummerSlam IC title match with Gunther, and we're like, right there, there's the moment. There it is, right there. Give it to him, give it to him. I'm over it. I've moved on from it. Because what Seth said on Raw isn't wrong either. Dude, you still got your title run. You're still known as the guy, which is, this isn't anything to sneeze at. He's the guy that got WWE specifically through the pandemic. He was their face. He was their champion all the way until they had half a crowd at the following year's WrestleMania, right, where he was with Bobby Lashley in the title picture. That is nothing to sneeze at. I got sick of saying, and it's not his fault. It's on the writers. I do feel like whether it was a world title or an IC title, when crowds came back, you should have found a way sooner to give him his moment because he deserved that. But, man, we're 3 years removed. I've moved on. I really have. And it all serves to the purpose of, yes, Drew, you should let that fuel your heel turn and be right. The Scottish psychopath that makes a lot more sense than Smiley Drew. At least in my eyes, especially when you look into the title picture. We mentioned a name, Cody Rhodes. Speaking of the title picture, he's facing Damian Priest, who has the Money in the Bank briefcase. In this scenario, Priest, of course, continues talking about cashing in. In a scenario, he's actually going to cash in at Crown Jewel. Is it more likely that he cashes in on Roman if he wins, LA Knight if he wins, Seth Rollins, or Drew McIntyre? Which of those four, if they win, is most likely to get cashed in on?
I personally would book him to cash in on Drew.
Interesting.
I think if you want to serve, now it could be Seth or Drew, but I'm thinking if you want to serve even more to Drew, just kind of snapping and turning heel completely, you give him his moment and you take it away immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
That prolongs the story. Then not only do you have three things actually. Seth loses his title, so now he's back in the chase of wanting to get his championship back.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre got his championship. He got his moment, and it was immediately snatched away from him.
Yeah.
And you're crowning Damian Priest for the first time as champion. Now everybody has something now in that one scenario.
Yeah, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense, and also doesn't make sense for the other three. Seth is too predictable. I mean, we've been, you know, pushing it in our faces forever. They're not going to do it on Roman. You don't take that moment away from the fans if you give it to LA Knight.
Right.
And it also serves the purpose of Seth Rollins getting into potentially the Judgment Day, which I don't hate, right? Especially, you mentioned it last week, if it is a scheme to get the Judgment Day to take the title off of Seth in the long run, and Priest, you know, ends up taking that title from Seth and they turn on him or whatever it may be. But if Drew wins, Priest takes the title off of Drew, or even attempts to, right? Now Seth lost to Drew. The Judgment Day went against Drew, so now Common Enemy would lead to that faction and could lead to Seth in the Judgment Day. I know that seems crazy with how over he is with the crowd singing his song. I am not over that. Seth leading the Judgment Day until at least right after WrestleMania makes a lot of sense to me, and I think that route could get us there and make a lot of sense with it. One non-title match, John Cena, Solo Sikoa, one-on-one. What's more important here? Is it John Cena getting a win or Solo Sikoa getting a big win, the first big pay-per-view win for him?
Well, because they're in Saudi and it's a big event, I would say Cena should get the win.
Okay.
Solo, I mean, it would be good for Solo to get the win, but he kind of doesn't. If they're going to keep on the trajectory they are with Solo Sikoa, if he's going to keep being that, like, just the enforcer background guy,
yeah,
a win here would be nice, but it doesn't ultimately do anything for him if that's where he's going to stay.
Yeah.
John Cena, because, one, the Saudi government's paying top dollar for superstars, right? So the fans want to see John Cena. He comes in, let him get a win.
Yeah.
That's just how I would book it.
Yeah, look, we said it before. I don't see any way John Cena comes out cutting promos about not winning in 4 years, go to Saudi Arabia, and lose. I just don't see that happening. But I will say, after this, because this is a big moment for Solo. It's a one-on-one match with the greatest of all time, as they say, on a pay-per-view. This shows me right here, they see a lot in Solo Sikoa.
Right.
Far past whenever this Bloodline story finally comes to an end. But I will say, after this, yes, Cena's going to win. Start getting Solo some wins. put a mid-card title on him, give him a pay-per-view win, let him get the pin if there's a traditional Survivor Series match or a War Games match, let him get the pin there, start giving this dude what he deserves, because we're getting to that point where he's been the guy in the background for way too long.
Well, if you just mentioned Survivor Series, if Solo's going to be, which you assume he would be involved in, whether they go War Games or traditional,
yeah.
If it's traditional, I have him be the sole survivor of his side. Just
out
of Roman, because let's say Roman gets pinned in that match.
Yeah.
Solo's the one that keeps it going and gets to win in the end. So he's the last man standing, you know.
Yeah. Bianca Belair, Io Sky, women's title on the line, and crown jewel. Is Bianca Belair getting close to Charlotte Flair territory in terms of always having to be in the title picture?
I mean, slowly but surely. We'll see how they go with her, because Charlotte, it took... There's been a lot of that with her.
Yes.
I mean, those title reigns came, all the reigns that Charlotte has racked up has been because she does nothing else but compete for the championship.
Right.
Bianca is kind of in that same vein. She just doesn't have the title reigns to back it up.
That's fair. And I think Charlotte, like, it's not even, of course, because Charlotte has more seniority.
Right.
So it's been going on for longer. But I do think percentage-wise, in terms of how many feuds has Bianca had that had nothing to do with the title, that percentage is pretty damn close to Charlotte Flair's, even though Charlotte has a longer trajectory of this, you know, thing going on where we just can't not have the title involved with her. I think it's the thing in the women's division, though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Jade Cargill coming in, you know, Becky Lynch, Bayley. These are girls who are superstars now.
Yes.
We can have one-on-one non-title feuds, right? And it have nothing to do with taking away a moment from such as Io Sky, right? Or if Dakota Kai gets healthy and you want to do something with her. Or if anyone takes the title off of Rhea, right? We don't have to take the moments away from those girls who haven't had those moments yet.
Right.
Use the Charlotte Flairs, now Jay Cargo, Bianca Belair, all of them, to give me some solid non-title feuds that leads into big pay-per-view matches. We can have a WrestleMania match that doesn't, a women's match that doesn't have a title. And I think that would just show the level of superstardom that Charlotte, Bianca, Becky, and them have. And Bianca is just the latest to get involved with that.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're almost at a level now where, like you said, there's a lot of superstar women performers that
you
can just have like this whole other level of competition that doesn't involve a championship,
right,
which builds up the women that are kind of the undercard, I guess, with the championship.
Fatal 5-Way, Rhea Ripley's defending her title, Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler. If Rhea were to drop this title, of the four challengers, who's most likely to walk out with the title?
For me, it would come down to either between Zoe or Shayna.
Okay.
Because I think Shayna won because it's believable.
Yes.
That she can like just basically rip everybody apart in that ring.
Yeah.
Zoe, I say Zoe because I think that as far as like developing a new up and coming like person in the women's division, I would pick her over Raquel because I think she's a little bit more ready-made.
Yeah. I agree with you with Shayna. Zoe might be a little too quick because she just had that turn on Trish, and I feel like she needs a little more of a run on her own to prove that she's ready. Shayna got a big, even though we didn't love the match, a big SummerSlam win over Ronda Rousey. She seems the most ready. The other option I'd be okay with is Raquel Rodriguez because of the amount of opportunities that she's had on TV, and because of injuries and getting screwed, she's come this close to the title a lot. Where I would not be shocked if this was the way she walked out with the title. And then real quick, Logan Paul, Rey Mysterio, U.S. title. We mentioned it before. Is there any chance Logan Paul loses here?
I mean, if you're not going to change hands of any of the world titles, I think this should be your biggest title change.
Logan Paul has taken some losses the last few times that he's been out, including last year in Saudi Arabia against Roman. I don't see any way Rey wins this match. Cheating or not, Logan Paul is taking that U.S. title. Let's get over to AEW. MJF had a big week. Main event week. World champion. Juice Robinson went on Dynamite to retain that ring. And then how about a world title main event on Collision where he beat Kenny Omega? Of course, Kenny Omega's streak is what MJF is getting closer to, and that's what led to that match. Do you feel like it was a waste? I don't know if that's going too far. Was that a waste to have that level of a match on Collision and not a pay-per-view?
I don't know if I would say waste either. I think that it's a missed opportunity to be on a pay-per-view. I think that's easy headliner for a pay-per-view.
Yeah. I waste is tough when it comes to that big of a match. You and I were talking about this off camera, and you said it perfectly. You're not competing with anybody on Saturdays.
Exactly.
right? What is the point? You have more pay-per-views, which we're going to get into that too. That is a huge match, yeah, right? And the fact that you're building, and for me, it's not even just a pay-per-view or non-pay-per-view thing. It's the fact that you already have announced Full Gear's main event of MJF and Jay White for the world title. Rarely in the wrestling business, unless there's injuries or something backstage goes weird, do you have a main event get announced and then changed, right?
Right.
And that's always bothered me with any company, when you announce a world title match for a pay-per-view and then you have that world champion defend it with it. We know they're not dropping the title.
Right, yes.
And sometimes that doesn't matter, because sometimes it's just about getting someone to spotlight or finishing a
Roman
certain
Reigns
story.
LA Knight.
There you go. Yeah. But when it comes to Kenny Omega, that's a main event match where I want to go in not knowing who's going to win. And the fact that it was a great match. Great match,
oh, yeah,
great
sure.
main event. We expected nothing less. The fact that I went in knowing they are not taking this title off MJF. MJF don't even physically have the title right now. Jay White has it, and he already has a main event in LA announced with Jay White. That's where the story it takes away from me, right? And that's where pay-per-views, and they are getting more pay-per-views, but the scheduling of pay-per-views could play a role in this, because if you knew that MJF was coming up on Kenny Omega's streak, why did we put him in a story with Jay White? Let's save that story with Jay White until the now December pay-per-view, which we'll talk about, and let's talk about MJF and Kenny Omega leading into Full Gear, because that's a pay-per-view caliber match, and that's a match where the story needs to go in. Is this where MJF's run comes to an end?
No, it's a thing AEW does, and I know AEW diehards are going to get pissed at hearing this, but it's true. They do AEW does this thing where they insist on having a big match as often as possible.
Yeah.
They don't have the patience to wait it out, to build it up. Yep. It's like, no, we're just going to squeeze it in here between these other two big main events we have. It's like, why? Yeah. Just you can spread this thing out.
Especially with the title match, because again, when you have any match where for whatever reason I know someone's winning or someone's not winning,
mm-hmm,
it takes away from the highlight of that match. As excited as I was to see this match, going into any match knowing there's no way MJF's dropping his title, it just takes away from the spark of it even a little bit. And the fact that it wasn't on pay-per-view, and everyone in the industry knows how big a pay-per-view main event is, especially in LA. It has a whole different feel. And the fact that we just gave this to whatever random city they were in for a collision on a Saturday night is crazy to me. But MJF continues his babyface run, and it's getting red hot.
Yeah.
If this ends up, because the Devil Mask showed up on Dynamite again, if this ends up in the long run being an MJF heel turn, return back to being a heel, and it was all a ruse, right? Are they going too far in making him a babyface, or would that just be a solid turn?
It would be I don't know about solid turn. It would be a notable turn, but I had questions about him being a babyface at first, but now that we're in the midst of how good he's being at it, like, I don't want to see a turn at this point anymore.
Yeah.
So if they did just pull the carpet off from everybody, it better be worth it.
Yeah.
Because at this point, he's doing really well with the run he's on.
And that's the problem, is he is doing so well, and if this was the long game plan, if I'm a writer, I'm switching it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've done this before, shorter, but we've done it before where MJF was playing the role of babyface, even just for a week or two, or even within an episode, and it was good, whatever, but you could see right through it for the most part, and it made sense when you found out it was you know, fake. I mean, we're talking months and months of this babyface now, right? And he is doing it so well. It's going to make them a lot of money because it's fans falling in love with this new MJF character. And it's not even about booing or cheering him. It's the watching the character evolve.
Right.
Right. And for me, if we spent all this time, months and months of MJF evolving into this great babyface, which is not as easy to do as some may think, especially when he's as great of a heel as he is, it would feel like a step backwards. It would just feel like we're just going back to the original MJF and we're just rewinding a year and a half,
right,
and going back to what we saw in early 2022 rather than evolving your character, which is what you always want to do. So if that is the plan, scrap it. And scrap it now, because he is a good babyface. And it's also the type of babyface, because he doesn't ignore that he's the scumbag.
Right.
He's the people's scumbag.
Again, we liken him to The Rock.
Yep.
He was the people's champ. He was the people's ass. You know what I mean? Like, yep. We knew The Rock was a jerk.
Yep.
But he was our jerk. It's like MJF's our scumbag.
He is who he is, and we appreciate
it. And we
that.
Love him for it.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Kevin Owens is an ass to most people, right?
Love
but
KO.
We love him.
Yeah.
We love KO. Stone Cold stunned everybody.
Stone Cold was a heel his entire run. But we loved him as a babyface.
Yes. He stunned every person. He was stunning females.
He stunned good old JR.
Yeah.
Who the hell does that?
Linda McMahon one time. Linda McMahon, like, come on. And we
everybody
cheer
could
it.
Get it.
We cheer it. We love it. Get her. Like, come on.
That was a different time, man.
Yeah, it was a big
different time.
MJF has a lot of challengers, though, coming at him right now. We've talked about this before. Samoa Joe, Jay White, Kenny Omega, Wardlow's back. He wants, you know, a shot at MJF. And I like his story, too. It makes a lot of sense. Of those, and if there's another one, throw one out there, who makes the most sense in the long run? It doesn't need to be right now to take the title off of MJF.
The Wardlow, Wardlow does have a history. There's a history there. It's already,
yes.
It's already planted there.
Yes.
So there's a reason why he would be able to. And Wardlow's over. I really wouldn't mind an Adam Cole MJF thing going down that road again. But for me, I like this whole Jay White thing.
Yeah.
And just something about him. He looks great with the championship. I love it being in a faction, heel faction. I'm running with it.
Yeah.
If I'm switching the title, it's Jay White.
I like a lot. I like everything for different reasons within the world title picture right now. I really do. Wardlow's story makes the most sense because remember Wardlow's run, his like skyrocket takeoff was supposed to be turning on MJF
right.
and beating the hell out of the heel that
right.
everyone hated, and now he goes away and he finds out that guy is now the face of the company. What the hell? I love that story. It makes all the sense in the world. I agree with you with Jay White. Adam Cole's at the bottom of my list at this point. It's a cool story. I just feel like. They've been, and I know the injury probably plays a role in that, and that's not his fault. But I feel like I just don't. That feels too obvious.
Yeah,
that's
like the least priority. Of
yes,
all
it
of them,
feels
yeah.
too obvious now. For me, it's Samoa Joe.
I would
he's
not mind
so
that
good.
At all.
He's consistently good. He's consistently good in the way he's offering
consistently
up this deal.
Good in every company he's been in.
Yep. ROH. People want him to beat Brock Lesnar years ago. Everything. And now the deal that he's trying to make with MJF, I'll protect you. Just give me a rematch for that title.
Love it.
Like, love it. Everything he does is spot on, especially since he's arrived in
AEW. And you believe it.
Yes.
You believe it with him, which I really like about
Samoa. So Samoa Joe's the route I would go. Real quick, the devil mask did show up on Dynamite. Your thoughts? Has it changed at all? Who is under that devil mask? Adam Cole? That's what we're thinking?
I think we both mutually agree. We think it's going to be Adam Cole.
Yeah.
I know I said Roddy, but I'm thinking it's going to be Adam Cole.
Roddy would be a downer. Like, no, don't do that. Like,
I think it's kind of like the, you know, just this, you're building up to this big revelation of who it is, and it's like Vince McMahon under the hood.
Yeah,
like, okay,
exactly.
Well, I expected someone else, but great.
Great. You know? This is fantastic. Yeah. Again, I've said it before, with mysteries like this, the reveal needs to deliver.
It has to pay off.
It needs to pay off. Adam Cole, it needs to be a surprise of some sort. So if it's not a return, if it's not another, you know, I would even take another face turning heel or even entering someone else into the world title picture. I wouldn't mind that at all.
It's Ronda Rousey.
It's the rumors are true. God, Ronda Rousey and AEW.
That's not a prediction.
A
that's a spoiler.
Gosh. Ronda Rousey and AEW would be a train wreck.
I would not have any interest in that, but here we are.
All right, let's touch on a few more things and then get out of here. AEW added another pay-per-view, one more for the year. December 30th, World's End. Is it a smart move to add another pay-per-view?
I think so. I think, again, it gives you the opportunity to have these big matches that you want without having to say, okay, well, we only have X amount of pay-per-views, so we'll just throw it on like a random Collision or Rampage or something.
Yeah, I love it. We're talking 8 pay-per-views within a year. That's 12 months. You could space them out a little better probably because we did have 2 pay-per-views back-to-back weeks, and you better – if this is going to be the new thing instead of the 4 that we used to do, you better talk about that $50 price tag you put on it.
I don't know about, especially with streaming services.
Streaming
now.
Services are a thing. WWE, you get literally pay-per-views for $5 a month if you want.
Yeah.
You know, and they do monthly pay-per-views, so you're basically
10 or 11
$5.
If you don't want ads. I mean, like, it's nice. You know, $50, man,
that's a lot.
Gas prices are high.
On Raw, Creed Brothers beat Alpha Academy coming up from NXT. Are you surprised by this little upset?
I'm not, because I think if you're going to call them up and they're going to build them up and make a big deal about them, I'm assuming they're going to be on SmackDown too, just because you have the GMs kind of vying for them to sign them.
Sure.
One, I was impressed with them. They're an impressive tag team. You want to have them make a statement when they show up. It would be really dumb to bring them up you know, have the announcers, like, build them up, and then they just lose. I was a good move.
Yeah, no, I think in the sense of the talent, I was very impressed, so not surprised that they would want to put someone like them over. It's more of the writing of it is, what is NXT? Are they in NXT still? Because they're in a big match at Halloween Havoc. You know what I mean? So it's that awkward, long-standing issue. What is NXT? What is the roster split? Where are? Is this a call-up? Is this just a pop-up? And if they just go back to NXT and continue their run, what was the point of putting them over Alpha Academy? Swerve Strickland got in a promo on Adam Page's kid.
He went there.
Baby. In the house. Does Adam Page just leave his baby alone when he goes to work?
That's just what he does.
Worried.
He puts a baby monitor there.
How do you just have an empty house and a crib in the bedroom? Nobody's there watching the baby?
If you need anything, call me.
Yeah, what? How high are you on Swerve Strickland, though, again, in terms of what his ceiling looks like in AEW?
So, again, consistency, right? Yeah. Like with Samoa Joe, you know, obviously two different performers, but consistently good, consistently entertaining. You know, just every time he cuts a promo, he's solid on the mic. Yeah. I think his ceiling is, we're talking world title picture eventually.
At some point, once they get the title off of MJF and kind of get some other people involved that you could see taking a loss to someone like Swerve, who's never been in the world title picture before, he is world title caliber. And feuds like this with a former world champion like Adam Page,
It helps a lot. Yeah.
I think Bryan Danielson is another one down the line that, you know what I mean? That have these feuds with these people that just elevate him to the world title picture at some point. Becky Lynch dropped the NXT Women's title last week on NXT. Does this feel like it was a waste to put the title on her?
I never understood this title reign, and I still don't.
No? And it makes even less sense. It would have made sense if it was leading to a big name, Jade Cargill, coming to NXT for a big match and elevating another big superstar and giving us, in their minds, a reason to watch NXT, because we brought this big name over to NXT and now she's our champion. Now Becky just awkwardly is floating on Raw because she just spent
her last few months.
She's
back where she started.
Yes.
In the whole Trish era thing.
She's too big of a name to be randomized like this.
Yeah, I agree.
This Trish feud, and then since then, it just feels like you're too big of a star.
That Trish feud
took
some steam out of
her
sales, man. I don't understand that, but here we are.
Are we getting a Miz face turn? Do you want to see a Miz face turn? Because I'm watching Raw with his feud with Gunther, his promo with Gunther. I'm like, am I supposed to be cheering for the Miz right now?
I don't want to see Miz as a face, but I think, again, you're going to run into that thing of where, okay, so now in modern times, a lot of fans now will cheer Miz or at least agree with Miz when he cuts really good promos.
Yeah.
And a lot of what he says is true.
Yeah.
Because we know Miz's history, how he was, you know, basically not welcomed into the company when first came in.
Right.
And we've watched his journey. So we appreciate Miz. We agree with him. But it's like, yeah, but I can't cheer you because you're kind of an ass.
Yes.
So like, I don't want to see him be a baby face.
Yeah, it's a different thing to forcibly try to get me to cheer for him, right?
Right.
Miz is the Miz. And there's been some feuds and some promos where he was cutting on John Cena, even against LA Knight, where you could see the crowd going, hell yeah, he's right.
He's making solid points. Yeah.
He's got great points. But it's a different process when you are actively trying to make him a babyface by getting him beat down 3-on-1 by Imperium, right? By putting him in a feud and having Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser and them just trash up his set. These are active heel tactics that goes against a babyface that you are trying to get me to feel sympathy for the Miz, who I've been booing for 98% of his career. They tried a babyface run with him about 10 years ago. It didn't make sense. The dude's a heel. We'll cheer him as a heel because he plays it very well.
What would it take for you, before we get out of here, just real quick, what would it take for you to see Miz as a babyface and cheer him as one?
Never.
Nothing?
And I mean that out of respect, because I want to cheer him because of how great of a heel he is. And honestly, he is, we say for some people, they're past needing a title, right? He's past needing a babyface or a heel label. He's the Miz. Let him be the Miz and put him in the ring with whoever you want, and I will cheer or boo him when it makes sense. He's past the label point, at least in my mind.
I think that it would take a much more dastardly heel than him going after his family.
That's fair.
That would be the only thing, I think, where you babyface Miz.
It's tough, too, because a lot of people respect Gunther for his title run, too, and cheer for Gunther.
I'm not choosing Miz over Gunther. I'm sorry. That's not happening.
Roll Around the Ring is available every Wednesday, wherever the hell you get your podcasts, including WRIF.com in Detroit. He's that dude, Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.